Chapter 17. I'm only making plans for Lionel. Lionel Gordon Partridge was my father. In my opinion, he always will be, although there are some who argue that dads stop being your father once they're dead. Born in April 1926, he grew up in that somewhat thick era after the Great War, when people were saying, well, we won't be doing that again, only to do it again quite soon afterwards. Little is known about his childhood, and Mother said it was only when he came back from the Second World War that his bad humour developed in earnest. I suggested many times that his grumpiness could be a very, very, very mild form of post-traumatic stress disorder, and that maybe he'd seen something awful like a fellow soldier get captured by drunken Germans and made to do a Morris dance while they laughed and shot at the ground near his feet. But both he and Mother insisted this was absolute toffee. I came along 10 years after the war had ended, and what I do know is that he was a strong and fierce man, just like the lion that makes up the first portion of his first name, brackets Lionel. Yes, I was always impressed that his first name contained lion, for he was always a lion to me. His thick black hair like a mane around his larger-than-average head, plus he had a bad temper, which lions are famous for. One of my earliest memories? Standing on a pavement by a parade of shops, while my mother attempted to parallel park again and again and again. We ended up shouting directions at the flustered woman, my father and I, until she got it right. I loved him that day. Once a year, when he was drunk on Christmas sherry, I'd be allowed to clamber onto his back while he crawled around the room and pretended to paw at the lady guests in the room. "Fatback the lion," I'd call him, and he'd tell me to shut it. "This will happen to you when you hit 40," he'd hiss. And sure enough, shortly before my 40th birthday, I'd begun to mushroom at the middle, gradually at first, but then more noticeably the lumbered area of my back happy to host a swathe of refugee fat displaced from more habitable parts of my body. A parting gift from my father to me. And I very much hope I have passed this affliction on to my own son, Fernando. Footnote. My own research suggests this hereditary complaint is a form of estrogen dominance combined with high insulin resistance, effectively meaning that anything containing carbs is going to set up shop just above the backside. Estrogen dominance can occur in males and is more usually a cause of slack male tits. I'm fortunate that my chest is practically concave. Moobs ain't no problem to me. Just, as I say, this unsightly fat back. I'm speculating again, but could it be that it was my father's given name that hardened him? Lionel would have been an unusual name in East Anglia in the earlier half of the 20th century, and he must surely have taken some stick for it. Stands to reason. There would, I imagine, have been lurid suggestions from the chortling children he grew up with that he was a practicing homosexual, simply because he had a name that sounded light on its feet. But this made my father teak tough, and any physical confrontation between me and him would always end in his favour. Be it pinning me down, smacking my backside, or just pushing me away when I became tiresome. He could summon the strength to overpower what, by all accounts, was a pretty active scout, me. Yes, it rankled, and yes, there were times when I'd fantasize about being big enough to turn round and thump him in the tummy, or set fire to an Airfix Messerschmitt and put it behind his bedroom door so he'd be intoxicated by the burning plastic. But I sure as heck loved him. Father struggled with my adolescence. Although he shared a house and took the odd foreign holiday as a family, he was a man of his time, and boy was I a man of mine. Brash, confident, and every bit one of the children of the revolution immortalised by Mark Bolam, I was a challenge to the status quo, as well as a fan of theirs. Father would have taken one look at my loose, long hair, flared denim trousers and pepper pot brogues and thought, "Who the hell is this big-haired puff?" Unfortunately, that BHP was me. And so it was, after childhood, we didn't speak a great deal. I was almost 40 when he died, and I know it bothered him that he didn't live long enough to see me reach that milestone and develop a fat back, or long enough to find out whether Fernando had learning difficulties or was just unruly. Brackets just unruly. But even though I've only been back to the graveyard in Sheringham where he lies on one occasion since his funeral, while interviewing an odd vicar for a high-quality documentary, I still find that within me he lives on. I learned at my father's knee, and it's funny what rubs off on you. Like him, I instinctively station an arm behind the passenger side headrest when I'm reversing in the car. Like him, I don't like brassy waitresses who talk loudly and touch your shoulder. Like him, I adore sandwiches. Although, unlike him, I will eat other foods, and like him, I've become a touch snappier in later life. I sometimes worry that growing older has mellowed my hatred of things, and with it my passion, my sharpness. But then a youth TV presenter says could have instead of could have, and there I am throwing food at the television. My father used to do the same thing, although his food hurling would be brought on by all manner of things he disliked. From something serious, like the US government's handling of the Cuban Missile Crisis, to something trivial, like a black newscaster. Yet despite these quirks we share, passed down from father to son like a collection of World Cup medals accrued from a petrol station via Esso's Tiger Token scheme, there is a disconnect. I feel I never truly knew him. By pounding the streets from Norwich to Dungeness, I know that will change. I know it will, because it will. I know it.